Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in his house to worship who he is and who we are in him. Let's prepare our hearts
and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our opening music this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this first Sunday in the month of August. It's hard to believe to say that this morning. Can you believe it's August already? Come on. You got to interact with me some this morning. It's hard to believe it's August. Amen. There you go. It is hard to believe. If you don't believe it, drive through the campus sometime this week, and you will know that August is here because the Elon students are already starting to arrive. We're starting to see change in our community, and the excitement is already starting to be in the air in our community, and I hope we can carry that excitement into our worship service this morning. We are excited to have Reverend Gary Gates with us, associational missionary for the Mount Zion Baptist Association, with us this morning. We are excited to hear what God has laid upon your heart to bring us this morning, and I'll be introducing him a little bit later on in detail later on in our worship service this morning. For those that are joining us for the first time this morning, thank you for joining us, those here in person or those joining us via Facebook Live. For those watching us this morning online, thank you for joining us in this way. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. From there, you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for today. If you're watching us first time online, send me an email this week. Just let me know who you are and how you checked in with us, and I'll follow up this week with you as well. Just a reminder about some of the things coming up in the life of our church that you're seeing in your bulletin this morning. This afternoon, reminder to our church council that we will be meeting at 4 p.m. upstairs in the Truth Seeker Sunday School classroom. Ministry team leaders, please make sure you are present for this meeting. We're excited to talk about some of the ministry opportunities coming up in the weeks and months to come here at First Baptist. So make sure you are present. If you are a team leader and you cannot make that meeting, make sure someone from your team can be present for that meeting so you can kind of check in and let us know what's going on. Then a reminder to our youth and our children, we will be meeting at 5 p.m. following that this evening, 5 o'clock tonight. If you look at your bulletin as well, you'll see many opportunities coming up this week in the life of our church. Tuesday will be a busy day. It begins at 9 a.m. With our senior adult breakfast at Grill Works. That's at 9 a.m. And I say senior adult breakfast. It's open to anybody. Anybody who likes to eat breakfast and wants to enjoy a fellowship around the table, 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning at Grill Works is the place for you. Then on Tuesday afternoon, our ministry team that goes to the Golden Year Senior Center will be doing their bingo ministry. If you're encouraged, if you would like to go with that ministry team, you can see Sandy French this morning. Let her know that you might want to go with that team this week for that ministry opportunity. And then, of course, Tuesday night, we continue our summer online Bible study as we're looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This week, we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you haven't had a chance to join me on that study, this week is a good time to join me. We'll be looking at just that first chapter in 2 Thessalonians. You can go on our Facebook page and look at any of the previous sections that we've done with our study. You can also go to our website and pull up some of those study guides for that study as well. But we're excited about at 6:30 this Tuesday night for our next session of that study. If you also look in your bulletin on Wednesday at 1:45, our Circle of Friends group. This is our ministry group that goes and visits some of our homebound members of our church. A wonderful ministry that meets once a month. If you would like to go and participate with that group, they'll be meeting at 1:45 upstairs in our Truth Seekers classroom to pray and scatter and decide who's going what direction. It's a wonderful ministry opportunity. If you want to be a part of that, just meet here at 1:45 on Wednesday afternoon. You will notice, and I mentioned this last week in our ministry headline about our missions gathering for the month of August. We are collecting school supplies for the Alamance Chamber of Commerce classroom collection campaign. And you heard me say last Sunday that the deadline to bring items was this Wednesday. Well, I was made aware that they've extended that deadline just a little bit. So the deadline to bring school supplies in for this collection is next Sunday. So if you have items that you have not brought by and you said, oh, I forgot to bring them this Sunday, you have till next Sunday to bring them back to church. You'll get another email this week. We'll remind you about that. There are collection boxes, bins here in the communication center and upstairs in the fellowship hall. I've been looking, and we've already brought quite a few things in, but there's always room for more. So please, if you have items, bring them by this week. Bring them by next Sunday. If you haven't had a chance to pick up some items, anywhere that you go in Alamance County, they've got school supplies. Dollar General has school supplies. The drugstore has school supplies. The grocery store has school supplies. Everybody has school supplies. Pick up a few of those items and bring them this week for that collection campaign. Again, next Sunday is the deadline for that. As you look at the other reminders on your on your bulletin this morning, next Sunday, we will have our roundtable meeting, our business meeting at 4 o'clock. Please mark that on your calendar so you'll be here next Sunday afternoon for that meeting. Last but not least, I just want to mention that Abundant Life Ministry began meeting here at First Baptist this past week, and they had a wonderful first week. They were just overjoyed to be meeting here, and they were just full of laughter, full of smiles. And they wanted to say thank you. So many of our Sunday school classes had thank you notes from that group in their Sunday school classes. You may have saw them and said, where did this come from? It was from them. And they wanted to say thank you. And they also wanted to say, you're invited to come by anytime. They want you to come by and they want to meet you. So anytime during the week, if you want to just swing by anytime from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock, just to swing by the fellowship hall, they would love to meet you. They'll shake your hand. They'll want to know your name. They'll get in a conversation with you. Trust me, I had many conversations this week. It was a lot of fun, but it's a wonderful group, and they wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. They also said if you want to come and volunteer, they're more than welcome to have volunteers anytime. So if you're interested in volunteering with this group, talk to myself or Gay. We'll get you on the list and let them know when you can come and help out. Last but not least, as you came in this morning, you always pick up your worship bulletin, but you may have noticed there was a different colored sheet as you walked in. Now, some of you I saw that picked them up. Most everybody did. However, if you did not pick this salmon colored sheet up as you came in, it's not too late. I've got a volunteer, Wes Carroll. Wes is back in the back. Wes, wave your hand. He graciously volunteered this morning during Youth Sunday School. I told him he was going to do this. So Wes said he would have passed them out. So if you did not pick this sheet up as you came in, this is for the sermon a little bit later, something you wanted to have in your hand just to make sure to follow up from our sermon that Gary Gates wanted us to have for today. If you did not pick one up, during our first song, worship song this morning, just kind of turn around and wave at Wes, and Wes will bring you one this morning during our first worship song. But we're gathered here to worship. We're gathered here to celebrate. If you need one of these sheets, just wave at Wes, and he'll bring you one. Let's stand up, and let's sing praise to God this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is "We Have Heard the Joyful Sound." Let's worship together.
Jesus, save. Spread the tide. It's all about Jesus, save. Jesus, save. Better than news to every man. Wonders, deeds, and blood.
our fear, our anxiety, and our discouragement, we come to you. In our energy, our excitement, and our delight, we come to you. Help us recognize your presence in the midst of our own situations this morning, even as we seek your blessing for our own lives and for the life of all your creation. Walk with us in this hour of worship and in each day this week as we laugh and even as we limp with you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "We Are Called to Be God's People." Let's stand and worship together. Saxomahall General Store for lunch. Of course, we're going to eat when we go somewhere. And then we're going to tour the museum, which is right across the road from the General Store. And I don't know much about that, but they say it's pretty good, so we're going to try it out. Well, y'all are going to try it out. I won't be with y'all this trip, but Jerry's going to take y'all on this trip. And but we'll meet at 10:30 that morning, and we need to meet in the lower parking lot, not up by the fellowship hall, because of the Abundant Life ministries are taking place in the fellowship hall. So we'll meet down in the ladies Sunday school class, and then we'll load the bus from there and head out to Saxomahall. So mark that on your calendar, August the 22nd at 10:30. That's when we'll leave the church at 10:30. So, and sign-up sheets are in the classrooms, the foyer over here, and in the communication center. And so we hope you will all come and join the fun and fellowship. Now, our deacon of the week is Angie.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you this day with grateful hearts, we thank you for all you provide in the world and in our lives. We bring you only what is yours, Lord, that you might use these and the giver for the building of your kingdom and the glory of your name. May we let our light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. Amen.
Thank you, Bert, for our special music today. As we continue to celebrate our 75th year in ministry at First Baptist Elon, recognizing the partnerships in ministry that have helped shape who we are as a congregation, Mount Zion Baptist Association has played an important part of who we are. We have had a partnership with Mount Zion since 1957. So it is my honor to welcome to the pulpit this morning the Associational Missionary of the Mount Zion Baptist Association, Reverend Gary Gates. Gary is a graduate of Elon University and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has served as pastor for churches in Alamance County for over 30 years. He has been a teacher and has also served in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. However, if you've had a chance to sit down with Gary like I have on multiple occasions, one would quickly recognize that he is a family man and a servant of God. Gary is happily married to his wonderful wife, Kathy, and the father of four grown daughters and the grandfather of three precious grandchildren whom he enjoys spoiling quite regularly. Gary has a heart for God and a heart for the church. One interesting note that you may not know that's not printed in the bio in your bulletin, Gary was a student of our very own Dr. Janie Brown, who unfortunately could not be with us today, but Gary shared with me that Janie called him and let him know that she would not be able to be here. However, Gary, Janie did want me to pass on not only her greetings, but also said that you were one of her absolute favorite students. And that comes after decades of teaching by Dr. Brown. That is quite an honor and quite a tag to take as one of her favorite students. Gary, thank you for your service to our county. Thank you for being with us this morning. We look forward to what God has placed on your heart this day.
So good to be here with y'all. It's a real honor and pleasure. Went to Elon a long time ago. It was Elon College way back then. And my favorite professor is Dr. Janie Brown. And I actually came to church here for a while, and you know, y'all have impacted my life, no doubt. I'll share a little bit more of my testimony later, but coming here and coming to Elon and meeting some folks and Christian athletes and Dr. Brown made a huge difference in my life. I'm just really thankful for that. Let me start and share you a little story. There was a man that was born, you know, at a very early age. That's a little one. But his name, they named him Odd, O-D-D. Why in the world? Who knows? But they named him Odd. The nurses just thought it was hilarious. They just cackled, you know, away from the family and everything. The doctor thought it was funny, too, but he just, you know, tried to compose himself and try to handle it real well. But they named him Odd, O-D-D. So you know what happened. As he grew up in school, what did the kids do? They just, you know, gave him a hard time. The name Odd, particularly as he became a teenager, they just really gave him a real hard time. Even as a young adult, he had a hard time keeping a job because of his name, Odd, O-D-D. You know, why he didn't change it, I don't know. But he continued with that name and continued had trouble at work and different times. Finally, about the age of 50, he told his wife, I've just had it with this name. He said, when I die, what I want you to do is put the date I was born and the date I die and nothing else. You know? He just had it. So, you know, to honor, you know, about so many 20 years later, he did pass away, and his wife wanted to honor his wishes. So she put the name of, I mean, put the date he was born, the date he died, and nothing else. And to this day, when people go to that cemetery, they see his headstone. And they say, isn't that odd? Or that odd? Isn't that great? Oh. Mm-mm-mm. This morning, I want to talk to you about who we are in Christ. Who are you really? You know? Is it just your name? No. You're much more than your name. Your name is important. But who are you really? You know? I could say I'm Gary, but that's just my name. Well, I could say I'm an American, whatever, or I live in Elon, so I'm an Elonite, like maybe some of y'all, or Burlington. I've been in Burlington area, Elon area, for a number of years. But that's just where I live. Who am I really? Who are you really? You know? If you cut off your arms, would you still be you? If you cut off your legs, would you still be you? You know, if you transplanted into your heart, would you still be you? You know? Yeah, you know, keep working. You might find you in there somewhere. But who are you really is the question. And I think we have to go back to what God says about us to realize who we really are. You know, I want to tell you another story. This is not a funny story, really. It's more of a sad story. There was this homeless guy, and he went from homeless shelter to homeless shelter. He went from mission center to mission center. And tried to work some and just really did try, but things just didn't work out. And he just had a hard time and just went from mission center to mission center. And finally, one day at the mission center, they said, you got a phone call. He thought, what? They said, you got a phone call. So he went and answered the phone. They said, are you so-and-so? He said, yeah, that's me. He said, well, your great uncle has died and left you $10 million. He said, really? And he hung up on him. He knew there were scams out there. He wasn't going to fall for something like that. 20 years later, He did pass away, and in his bank account, they found $10 million plus interest that he never, you know, wrote a check on. Anybody still know what checks are? You know, little things. He never wrote a check on that because he didn't investigate. You know, it's good to not believe everything you hear, right? But he didn't investigate and find out the truth. He didn't investigate and find out the truth and then act on that truth and enjoy the blessings that he had. I think as Christians, many times we don't investigate and really act on the truth of God's word, and we miss out on so many blessings that God has for us. You know? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 13. Jesus here. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Here Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to trampled underfoot." He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As you look here, we are the salt of the earth. You know, I used to think, first time I encountered this passage, I remember thinking back, I need to become salt. I need to become light. But that's not what it says, is it? It doesn't say we need to become these things. It says if you're a follower of Christ, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to followers of Christ. He's talking to us, you know, who named the name of Jesus. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you need to become salt. He said, you are salt of the earth. He said, you are the light of the world. Wow, think about that. You're salt of the earth. You're light of the world. You make a difference wherever you go. Wow. And we think about salt. You know, salt adds flavor, right? Anybody eat French fries without salt? Not that good, is it? Terrible. Yeah. You know, it's fries, French fries. We probably shouldn't eat a lot of them, but it's okay to eat a little bit. But if you get them without salt, they're just no good. You know? Salt gives flavor. Salt gives flavor. We are called to give flavor to others, to be the flavor of Jesus to others. Salt also preserves, doesn't it? Particularly, and back then, I grew up out in the country in Prospect Hill, and people used to kill hogs and so forth back then, and they'd salt down the meat, right? Salt is a preservative. We, as Christians, we are a preservative throughout the world. The world's kind of going a little crazy, isn't it? You know? But we are here to make a difference. If you took all the Christians out, it really would be a crazy, crazy world. It's a little bit crazy anyway, right? I don't think it's any worse than when Jesus was walking on the earth. But, you know, we are here to preserve and add flavor. Here again, it says we're salt, a light of the world. What does light do? Light illumines and helps you to see, you know, keeps you from falling kind of thing. Light provides understanding because we can see our surroundings. You know, if you made this whole room dark, or let's say a huge warehouse that was maybe 10 times the size of this room, you made it completely dark, and then you lit one little lamp, one little match. Could you see that? Would it make a difference? So light dispels the darkness. You know, here Jesus is saying, you are salt of the earth. And you're light of the world. You make a difference wherever you are. If you don't hide your light, you know. And if you get out of the salt shaker, right? Salt in the salt shaker doesn't do a whole lot of good for our food, does it? You have to get it out of the salt shaker. And we're called to gather, yes. And we're called to be with other Christians. But if we're not with non-Christians, how can we, you know, we need to get the salt out of the salt shaker. And to be... One thing I feel like I've been convicted that I'm not around non-Christians enough. Because our job is to share Jesus with others. And we're, you know, the day of come and see is probably to some degree gone. It's more go and tell now. You know, it's definitely good to invite people to church or whatever, but a lot of folks are not going to come to church. We need to go to them. We need to be salt and light where they are. You know, imagine you had the cure to cancer in your pocket. Would you just leave it there? You know? We are salt of the earth. We are light of the world. How can we not let it? You know, when you affirm that truth, how can we not let our light shine? God may be glorified in us. Let me stop there and just again share a little bit of my story. I was born and raised in Prospect Hill, Capital County. Anybody know where Capital County is? Prospect Hill. Good country, great people. It's still only, I think, one stoplight, I think, in the whole county. I think it's probably right. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a flashing light and there's a stoplight. I'm not sure there's much more, you know. But some great people. Great farming community, great people. So I grew up in Prospect Hill, which is kind of the corner of Alamance, Orange and Person, not far from Alamance, right there in the corner of Caswell County. And really blessed to be at a Baptist church growing up, and my parents were Christians, and they lived out their faith. And I remember about the age of 11, we had a week-long revival, and I think I waited till the last day. Week-long revival, and I remember going forward, and I really do believe I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realized I was a sinner, that I needed Christ, and I believe I really did accept Christ then. And I think I grew some after that, but then I went off to NC State my first year out of college. Carolina fans, I did marry a Carolina girl. I can't say a whole lot about Duke, but I went to NC State my first year out of high school. And I made some feeble attempts to find a church, but I remember, you know, I began to follow the crowd. And I regret this, but I began to follow the crowd some and got involved with some of the folks that weren't living for Christ and didn't do that well that year. I remember at the end, kind of towards the end of that year, that I felt like the Lord just spoke to my heart just as clear as anything. I've got something better for you than this. I've got something better for you than this. That just rings in my ear even today. I ended up leaving NC State, ended up joining the Marine Corps Reserve, went to Parris Island and then to 29 Palms. While I was at boot camp, my father died of a heart attack. That was kind of his first heart attack at 39, and then he died of a heart attack at 55. So it makes me think. I passed 55 a while back, and it made me think a lot. But he died of a heart attack, and they sent me home for 1 week and then back to boot camp. And I served that 1 year active duty and then reserve time after that. Came back to the area, worked a little bit, then ended up going to Elon. Again, Elon College back then. Again, met Dr. Brown and just some guys and girls, you know, that were in Fellowship Christian Athletes and another Bible study. And they were living out their faith. And I knew that was right for me. And I got involved here at Elon. And that was made all the difference in the world. And, you know, just being around Christians and being around folks that love the Lord. Later I was discipled and really grew then. That made a tremendous difference in my life. If you hadn't had somebody invest in your life to help you grow, it just makes all the difference in the world. When you turn around and try to help someone else grow, that makes such a tremendous difference. And, you know, from there, again, I met my wife there. Actually, I was at Grove Park Church then and was on staff there for a little bit with activities in the gym, just part-time. I saw my wife giving her testimony. I thought, I think she might be the one. And she was. And we've been blessed going on 38 years this year, which is hard to believe. Again, we have four daughters, grown daughters. Two are married, two are not. And we have three granddaughters. So we know nothing about boys. But girls are wonderful. We love our girls. Particularly the grandgirls, grandchildren, their granddaughters, they're like 5, 3, and 1. So some precious, precious ages there. And I've just tried to follow the Lord one step at a time. I've been involved in a lot of different churches here in Alamance County, and now as the Association Missionary is what I like to call it. It used to be Director of Missions, and they have some other names and so forth, but I like Association Missionary. And my job really is to help pastors and help churches any way I can. I love doing that, and it's been great to get to know David. And you are very blessed to have David and Gay and Janice and other folks here, I'm sure, in a tremendous way. So it makes a tremendous difference. So the Lord had blessed me and had led me one step at a time. I felt like I was a pastor for about 10 years, and someone came and gave me a book called Victory Over the Darkness. And it was a salesman that came. He said, "Can I have some time with you?" I thought, I don't have time for a salesman. So I told him I'd give him 15 minutes, which I'm pretty accommodating most of the time. But for some reason, I thought, I'm going to just, you know, give this guy 15 minutes and be done with it. He came and gave me that book, and it's been one of my favorite ever since. You know, a book can be a teacher. You always want to make sure it lines up with Scripture. But a book can be a teacher. And the book, Victory of the Darkness, has been one of my favorites. And it helped me understand particularly who I am in Christ. I think I was on a little bit of a performance treadmill and only felt good about myself when I was performing well or had the opinions of others. But I realized what's important is not the opinions of others or not even my own performance. What's important is what God says about me. And when I began to really affirm what God says about me, it really just changed my life. It really did. If you have your handout, I'd like to kind of walk through some of that with you. Again, just some of the biblical things about who we are in Christ. I have to take my glasses off to read and put them back on to see y'all sometimes. So bear with me on that. But if you will, look at the front there, and I'm going to read some of it. The following list itemizes in first-person language who you really are in Christ. These are some of the spiritual traits which reflect who you became at spiritual birth. When you became a Christian, these things became true of you. You can't earn them or buy them any more than a person born in America can earn or buy the rights and freedoms he and she enjoys as an American citizen. They're guaranteed to us by the Constitution simply because we were born in the United States. Similarly, these traits on the inside are guaranteed to you by the Word of God simply because you were born into God's holy nation by faith in Christ. Wow. Take a look on the inside. And I want y'all to kind of interact with me a little bit this morning. Take a look on the inside and look through that list. These are traits that are true about you. And I want you to tell me, maybe mention one that stands out to you. Man, that one, all of them are good. But just mention one that kind of stands out to you a little bit. And we'll talk about that. What? Okay. Excuse me.
I'm a child of God.
You're a child of God. Good job, Gabe. Wow. Isn't that good? You're a child of God. You know? You know, that's really one of my favorites, really. Think about that I'm a child of God. You know, I try to, each morning, a lot of times I'll say, Lord, thank you that I'm your child. That you love me just like I am. You know? How much do you love your children? How much do you love your grandchildren? Say if you don't have children, if you had children, how much would you love them? You know? Think about that. God loves you more than if you had children, or God loves you even more than you love your grandchildren. How much love is that? Wow. For me, that's a whole lot, right? I remember when my first daughter was born. Again, we have four daughters. And my first daughter, Amanda, was born at Alamance Memorial Hospital. Anybody remember Alamance Memorial Hospital? They tore it down, you know. I remember, but way back then, my wife, you know, went into labor and just all day long and nothing was really happening, or it was happening, but it wasn't happening. And so they ended up doing a C-section. So they knocked her out. Back then they did that. That's come a long way since then. But I remember being in the surgery room and the doctor, you know, taking the baby, blue baby, and finally the color started coming, whatever. They ended up putting Amanda, my first daughter, and I didn't know what a Harlem baby was. They put her in my arms, and then they told me to walk up these steps. I thought, are you crazy? You know, and so they put her in my arms, and I walked up these steps or whatever. We had to walk way down the hall to the nursery area, and My sister was there, and my wife, again, she was knocked out. And my sister was there, and also another friend of ours. They kept saying, yeah, we didn't even know what it was back then. It was a little different way back then. They said, what is it? What is it? And I said, it's a girl. I could hardly get it out, you know. I was tears and walking down that hall holding this little thing, you know. But I loved her. And I still love her today, you know. How much do you love your own children? Wow. You know, I think about a little toddler comes to you and they can I say this, they pooped in their pants, you know. Excuse me if I mess up in here. But what do you say to that child? You say, child, I can't believe you did that. You're out of here. Just kick them out, you know. Do you do that? No. You say, come on, let me clean you up. Now, however tough that is, but you clean them up, and you just love them, don't you? You know? What does God do when we mess up? What does he want to do when we mess up? He just wants to clean us up and love on us. You know? We're a child of God. Thank you, Jay. Somebody else, what's another one? Not everybody at one time.
I'm a member of Christ's body.
I'm a member of Christ's body. Isn't that good? Wow. We're the hands and feet of Christ, aren't we? Wow. God, you know, has chosen to be Jesus to the world through us. We are the hands and feet. We're the body of Christ. We're in this all together too, aren't we? You know? Good stuff. We're the body of Christ. Somebody else.
Christ's friend.
I'm Christ's friend. Isn't that good? Wow. We're Christ's friend, you know? We're a friend of Christ. You know, he calls us friend. I love that song. He calls us friends. You know, if you look at that passage in some of the context, again, all of these, I would encourage you to look at the context and see what it says. In the context there, it says that he has chosen to call us friends, but also we show ourselves to be his friend when we're obedient. Wow. But he calls us friends. We're a friend of Christ. Somebody else?
Citizen of heaven.
Citizen of heaven. Yes, thank you, Phil. Woo! I know Phil from somewhere, I don't know. But
everybody says that.
And we still love him anyway, don't we? What'd you say? I forgot.
I was looking like I'm a saint, but that's my wife. I'm a citizen of heaven.
Citizen of heaven, yes, yes. Your real mailbox is not here, is it? Your real address. Not here. We're citizens of heaven. Yes, we're citizens here, but you know, to think about, you know, our real home is in heaven. You know, we're citizens of heaven. Yeah. You said your wife's a saint, but you.
I was supposed to say that, but I should say this.
I love that one too. You know, if I said how many sinners are in here, how many people probably raise their hand? Most of it. Yeah, yeah. I'm a sinner saved only by the grace of God. Right? Amen. And I love that. I do, you know. And when you leave here, if you're talking to non-Christians, we need to say we're just sinners saved only by the grace of God. If it wasn't for Jesus, you know, we have no hope. I don't care how good you are, you're not good enough. You know, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. But biblically, as you look in Scripture, the word sinner really, in most every case in Scripture, is talking about unregenerate people. Talking about non-Christians. You know, the sinner is talking about non-Christians in most every case. You know? Or looking back at the past kind of thing. We were sinners, and in one sense we're still sinners, saved by the grace of God. But biblically, if you look at Scripture, what is the main definition for a Christian in Scripture? What the main, one of the main words used for Christians in Scripture? Well, saint. Saint. You know? Did Paul say to the sinners at Colossae? Or did he say to the saints at Colossae? You know? And several of his epistles he talks about, he's writing to the saints, depending on what translation you're looking at, but in many cases, the word saint means set apart for God's purpose. It had the same root words, holy, and saint is really the same word, and it means to be set apart for God's purpose. I love the illustration. Back in Old Testament time, they would take an ordinary butcher knife and they would take it to the temple and they would set it apart for God's purpose. It became holy at that point. When you became a Christian, God set you apart, and he calls you a saint. Now, the Catholic definition of saint is what? Somebody that died a long time ago, and they were perfect, almost perfect, and they did some miracles a long time ago, whatever. Is that the, you know, is Paul talking to dead people when he says to the saints at Colossae or to Ephesus? No, he's talking to Christians. So really, the biblical definition is we are saints. You know, we are saints who sin sometimes. You know, and I would say again, I try not to go out from when I'm in a group of Christians, I can say I'm a saint. And you can say you're a saint, but when we're not a group of Christians, we might not should say that, right? But people have the wrong idea. They don't know what saint really means. Saint means set apart for God's purpose. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, saint. And smile while you do it, okay? It's hard to do, isn't it? It's almost hard to do. But actually, the biblical definition of saint is somebody that's a Christian. Yeah, good stuff. Somebody else, what's another? Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Such a great verse, you know. But think about it. Can we fly? Yeah. Well, with an airplane, we can. I reckon, right? Yeah. We can do all that God wants us to do, right? You know. Well, what does that verse really mean? You know. Seems like there's some things we can't do. In some sense, it says we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. What's being in the context, you know, Paul had been snake bitten, he had been beaten, he had been whipped, he'd been through it all, and he says, I can do all things through Christ to give me strength. So in the context, it almost seems like he's saying, I can endure all things through Christ to give me strength. But really, even farther than that, the word do there carries with it an idea of victory. So the way I like to understand it, the way I do understand it is that we can have victory in all things through Christ who gives us strength. Wow. I can do all things. All that God would have me to do. You know, through Christ who gives me strength. Good deal. Thank you. Somebody else? Somebody in the middle here. Come on, help me out. I'm complete in Christ. Wow. I'm not sure I know what all that means, but I like it. You're complete in Christ. Wow. You know, in the context there, it seems to be meaning that we have complete salvation, we have complete forgiveness, and we have complete victory in Christ. You are complete in Christ. Yeah. Nothing else is needed as far as your salvation, as far as your forgiveness, you know, as far as your victory. Another one I really like is, I've been bought with a price. On the first part here, going down about halfway, I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. Wow. Stories told of a little boy that he with his father, they built a little sailboat. And they worked hard on it, building this little sailboat. And he just, you know, really enjoyed making it. And he really enjoyed making it with his father and really enjoyed making that little boat. He would take it out to the nearby lake, and they would let it float on the lake. It just had a great time. One day, a storm came up, and the little boat got away from him, and it just broke his heart. Oh, my boat! You know, he had made it with his dad, and just, you know, worked hard on it. And about 2 weeks later, he went by one of the stores in the town that they were in. There was his boat in the window. So he ran inside and said, that's my boat, that's my boat. The merchant said, son, I bought that boat. If you want it, you're going to have to buy it. He thought, my goodness. So he went out and did every odd job he could and just, you know, collected as much money as he could. And finally, a few weeks later, he had enough money, and he brought that money and laid it on the counter for the merchant, and the merchant gave him that boat. He just hugged that boat. He walked out the door hugging that little boat, and he said, I made you, and I bought you back. You're twice mine. You're twice mine. God made us, and he bought us back. We are redeemed. You know, he bought us back. We're twice His. Wow. Did Jesus pay it all? Yeah. Jesus paid it all, didn't He? The song, he paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I think a lot of times as Christians, we forget how far we've come and how far we are, you know, if we didn't have Christ, where we would be. Jesus paid it all. A lot of times I ask people, you know, suppose you're standing for God. He said, why should I let you into my heaven? And, you know, you get some different things. What, if somebody asked me, though, why should I let them in? I would say, Lord, I don't deserve to come in. There's none of us deserve to come. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Lord Jesus, I know you died for all my sins, past, present, future. Wow. I know I've accepted you as my Lord and Savior. Therefore, based on what you did for me, my true acceptance of what you did for me, I get to have a relationship with you and get to have a home in heaven, a citizenship in heaven. Good stuff. Look on the back. It says, because you're in Christ, every one of those characteristics is completely true of you. Is that right? Is that true? Look in the middle again. Is all of them really true of you? Are you really a saint, according to God, if you've accepted Christ? Are you really, you know, God's temple? Are you God's workmanship? Another translation there, down at the bottom right, God's workmanship. Another translation says we're God's masterpiece. I love that. Look on back. Because you're in Christ, every one of those characteristics is completely true of you, and there's nothing you can do to make them more true. Make sure I'm saying right here. Is that right? But you can make these traits more meaningful and productive in your life by simply choosing to believe what He said about you. One of the greatest ways to help yourself grow in maturity in Christ is continue to remind yourself of who you are in Him. I suggest you go back and read the In Christ list aloud. Read it once or twice a day. Read it when you think the enemy is trying to deceive you into believing that you're a worthless failure. The more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. Wow. Look at that list in the middle again with me. What I want to do just real quick is kind of walk through some of this and get you to be a choir for me and repeat after me, okay? Would you do that? And just all together, I'm going to mention some of these, and I'm going to skip down through a few of them. But I want you to affirm who you are in Christ. Okay, if you will, do this with me. I'm God's child.
I'm God's child.
Okay, say it like you mean it now, okay? All right. I'm Christ's friend.
I'm Christ's friend.
I've been bought with a price.
I'm a saint.
You might smile at somebody while you say that, but yeah. I am complete in Christ.
I am complete in Christ.
I am free forever from condemnation.
I am free forever from condemnation.
I cannot be separated from the love of God.
I cannot be separated from the love of God.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
I can find grace and mercy in time of need.
I can find grace and mercy in time of need.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
And forgiven of all my sins.
I'm salt of the earth.
I'm light of the world.
I'm God's temple.
I'm a minister of reconciliation.
I'm God's workmanship.
I'm God's masterpiece.
I can do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me.
Woo! Yeah. I always like, sometimes I say, can we give the Lord a hand for His goodness? Can you do that just with me? Give the Lord just a hand. The Lord is so good, isn't He? You know, and are we running back to the truth of who you are? I want to challenge you, and I give you a little challenge this morning. What I try to get people to do is to agree to read this list out loud every day for 7 days straight. Will you do that with me? Will you read this list? Now, all you have to do is just shake your head, yes or no. If I see some no's, I'll probably run up to you. But no, just Would you do this, pray about at least saying this list out loud every day, once a day, for 7 days straight? Will you do that? You do that? Just give me a little nod. Yeah. Will you do that? And if you miss a day, you got to start over, though. Okay? So 7 days straight is the challenge. You know, to affirm who you are in Christ. You know? Let me end with this. There's a little story of an eaglet that somehow the eagle egg fell into a nest of turkeys. And so when he hatched, all he saw was turkeys. And he thought, I must be a turkey. You know? But finally, and he began to gobble like a turkey, and he began to eat grub like a turkey, and he just, you know, acted like a turkey. But then one day an eagle came and said, son, you're not a turkey, you're an eagle. Flap those wings and let me show you how to soar. And he was just amazed, and he began to soar. He said he knew something wasn't quite right, you know, living like a turkey. Sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, because we live around a lot of turkeys sometimes, don't look at somebody, we begin to think, you know, we're just turkeys too. But, you know, but God tells us to mount up with wings like eagles and soar. You know, affirm who you are in Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. You're salt of the earth, light of the world, more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Now, David, if you'll come.
Thank you, Gary, for your words today. Our identity is found in Christ. That's who we are. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect on who you are and who you have made us through what you have done for us, Father, may we know that we are made new in you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, maybe today for the very first time you recognize who Christ is and who he has made you. I'll be down front and to talk with you. Gary will be down front as well. He'll be down front if you want to talk with him. If you're looking for a church body who's just seeking to honor God through being identified through him, First Baptist could be that place for you. I'll talk with you about what it means to be a member here at this body of believers. Or maybe just today you've been struggling. Maybe you've been struggling with who you are. And maybe today some of the identities we've talked about in this handout has really weighed on your heart. I'll pray with you. The altar is always open. This is his altar. It's not my altar. Come and pray, or pray where you are. Whatever commitment you need to make today, make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
Gary, if he will. I'll go ahead and invite you to head out to the back. Gary's also got some newsletters from the association. I'll have those back out in the foyer if you'd like to pick one of up, the Encourager. You can also get on the mailing list from Mount Zion Baptist Association, so you can receive one of those at home every single month. But as you leave today, know that you go in Christ. You are made new in Him. And I encourage you to take that handout home with you and the challenge that Gary has placed on your heart today. Go in peace.
Oh, wow. Wow.